Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Shkalim has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Aaron Solomon, Le'iloi Nishmas Rabbi Cheskel ben Rabbi Yisrael.
Maseches Shkalim, Dav Zayin. The Gemara says at the end of the sugya, before the Mishnah, that there were three members that are all miyusad on the same thing, the same idea, and that's the member of Rav Chista, and that of Shmuel, and that of Rabbi Yochanan. And the Gemara explains that the member of Rav Chista is that Moisar Nesachov Shel Nazir, it goes Linadova. In other words, a person has money set aside for Nesachim, for Korbanos Nazir, for the Nesachim, and there's leftover monies. So the leftover monies are utilized Linadova. That means Lo'olas Kayas Hezbech, it's offered for Olas Tzibur. That's the Moisa Nesachov of a Nazir. The second memory is that of Shmuel that said that Hifrish Shikloi Umeis, the money goes Linadova. So there was a person who had money set aside for Machsa Shekel and the person died, so it's leftover money. And now, according to Shmuel, that money goes Linadova, that's the Kayetz Mizbeach. And finally, the memory of Rabbi Elazar, that's Machloikis the Gemara brings before the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar, about the Moisar Asiras Ho'efa Shaloi, that's leftovers of the monies for the Asiras Ho'efa of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has a Minchas Chavitim that's brought in his name each and every day, half the morning, half in the afternoon. If there's extra monies from this Asiras Ho'efa, it's the volume of an Asiras Ho'efa, the last of the monies, it gets destroyed in the Hamelach, and Rabbi Elazar says that Yipul Nadava, and Rabbi Elazar Shita also that this money goes to Oilos Kayas Hezbech, and these three members would have these three different things. Going, these monies going, Laos Kansas Bech, the Gemara says that they're all based on the same idea. What is the same Yisoid, the common denominator behind the three? So the Gemara spoke out a little bit earlier that there's the Yisoid that called Mois and Esachov are what? Are Kotche Kotchim Inan Vyipul and Adav. That's haste Vibalt, that these are Kotche Kotchim, and all these are leftover extra monies from Kotche Kotchim. Salacha is in all the cases, leftover monies, in all these cases, goes Laos Kayatsnes Bech. Now, remember, that's a big Kiddush, and that's the Matskona. The Yushalmi, according to the Yushalmi, that anytime I have leftover money from any Kodshe Kodshim, the money is always going to go for Kayat Mizbeach, for the Oilus Tzibur. The Emes, the Loshana Mishnah earlier on Vavam Abeis, the Mishnah spoke at a Klal, Zeha Klal, Kol Shehu Bo Lashim Chatos, and Mishum Ashma on Mois and Adov. Over there it spoke out that it has to be an Aveira offering, leftover monies. If it's leftovers from an Chatos, leftovers from an Asham, so then the leftovers go Linadova. The Emes is, we'll see later on in Mitzvah Shem and the Masechta, that the alfunsa, the gizrasha that the Gemara has for this halacha, that leftover monies in various cases go to the oil of kaitzas bech l'nadova, that also is benegeta aveira karbonis. That's called the medrash yahayada that we're going to have later on in the perek in the mesechta medrash yahayada. That it's called medrash yahayada because yahayada hakoyah he was the gadol during the bayis harishon times. He came up with this drasha from the pasuk of osham hu osham osham lashem. We'll see the whole drasha there that these types of aveira offerings at the leftover money is the goal of Hashem, the whole chesed of the Gemara, that it ends up proving that it goes to Oilas Kayas Mizbeach. So it's a drasha that comes from types of offerings, types of korbonos that are for the sake of an aveira, and that's Lashon Mishnah is like that. Moisa Chatos, Moisa Oshma, so those the monies go to Nadova. However, Lamaisa, the Gemara by us and the Maskana comes out that it's not just a din in Chatos or Oshma, but it's extended from there. The Chazal took it to understand, according to these shitas, these three shitas in the Gemara, in the various cases that it refers to any leftovers of any kochi kochi monies, and it applies according to this sheet to these three amarim or all davar echad. In one case, you have mois and nesachim of a nazir, which those nesachims are mincha and the wine that they are kochi kochim, and the same is true about a machsa shekel goes to kochi kochim, and the same is true about the asiris sefer the king god the leftover monies. In all the three cases, in the three man the amrim, they all go to the nedava the kaiyas hazbech because of the being a kochi kochim. That's the maskana. L'mais in the Bavli, the Gemara is not masik like that. In the Bavli, in Menachos Daf Kuf Chesem Ralph, we have something of a parallel sugi over there in Menachos, and over there the Gemara clearly does understand that that's how the Rishonim learned it up, and before Hashem learned that it does understand over there that it's a din in an Aveira type korban. It's a leftovers of an Aveira type, of a Chatas type korban. That's where I have the special din of the Medrash Yahada, that the leftovers go toward a Nedava of Kayas Hezbeach, and it's not an algemeine, a general din of any leftovers of any any kodshei kodshim, which is how the Yerushalmi learns. Over there in Menachos, the Gemara brings really the same achloikas of Yechim and Lazar that we have over here in the Yerushalmi before the Mishnah, that the leftovers of a mincha sa'efa, the Ken Godless, left of a sira sa'efa, of the mincha sa'evitim, the Ken Godless, leftover monies. But Lazar says leftovers go l'nedova, the Kain says be'ech, and Yechim says leftovers go l'hamelach. In the Yerushalmi, like we said, it seems that Lazar's sheet is based on a general halacha, leftover kachikachim monies go to Kayat Hezbeach. However, in the Bavli, it seems to be clear, and that's how the Gemara, that's how Rashi speaks it out over there, and of Kufches, that the Shaila is based upon a specific question as to whether I'm prepared to label the Minchas Chavitim of the Ken Godel, that's the daily offering of the Ken Godel of Mincha, that's brought part of the morning, part of the afternoon. We'll see about it later in Shkolim. Are we prepared to label that a type of a Chatas, even though it's not truly a Chatas? Are we willing to call it a Chatas, like we'll see the Yisoy that's behind that? And that's Mavur like that in Menachas of Kufches. In other words, that the Gemara is blibing, is leaving with the simple reading of our Mishnah and the simple understanding of the Drosha of Yehoyada, of Osham, who Osham, Osham, that it's a din in Chatas, in Avera type offerings. And there the leftovers go toward the Nedava, Akayat Hezbeach. And it's a specific question about the Asir Sefer Ken Godel, whether that is called a Chatas type offering as well. The Gemara over there speaks out that the Yisoid behind Rabbi Yochanan Shita, why he holds over there that the leftovers of the Asir Sa'if of the Ken Godel does not go toward the Nedava. So Rabbi Yochanan makes a special drush over here, the Gemara brings down a drush over there, Kichatosi, that Pasuk of Kichatosi speaks, is a Pasuk that speaks about a Minchas Choyte, a Mincha that brought certain types of sinners, we have a poor, that they bring a Minchas Choyte, and it says over there in the Pasuk, that it says don't place any oil, eat le Hashem, eat le Levoina, Kichatosi. It's a plain carbon mincha, doesn't get shemen and levaina, because chichatos he. And that the Gemara dashen from the he, according to some shitas, the Gemara says we dashen he kriyachatos, ve'en acheres kriyachatos, only the minchas choyte is called a chatos, and not the minchas siyus hefer ken godel. And that teaches us, like the Gemara, li made la siyus hefer ken godel, she'en a kriyachatos, and therefore needs levaina, it's not called a chatos, the minchas chavitam needs it, and a melehu adin says it's not called a chatos, and therefore the leftovers don't go towards when the Donfa Baranda gets destroyed. The Bavli over there says that it goes Yeroke if it gets to be ratted away. Hakopanim is mavur over there that there's a very specific question as to whether the minchas chavitim of the Kohen Gadol, the daily mincha of the Kohen Gadol, is called a chatas of some kind, or it's nismayit from being called that. And Rashi is mefarish over there like that in Menachos as well. And Rashi brings down that be'etzem we really do find that the minchas chavitim of the Kohen Gadol, even though it doesn't come for a sin, it doesn't come for an avera. Afal pikein, despite that there's a special halacha that it really is called a chatas somewhere in the Tanakh, and where is that in the Tanakh? So like Rashi, that we really do find epis in the Tanakh that the daily mincha of the Kohen Gadol is called a chatas, and that is Rashi quotes the Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Tes Zayin, the way that the Gemara explains the pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalet. Over there in Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalet, just to take a step back here for a moment, in Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalet, there's a pasuk of the parsha of the Koyanim Halavim Bnei Tzadok, and this is laid in the Haftorah Parshas Emor Yichi. We lean it as Haftorah. It's a shvera parsha, very difficult. It goes through various halachas of the Koyanim LaOsid Lavoy, and it seems to mix together halachas of a Kohen Gadol, halachas of a Kohen Hedyot. The Gemara in Kedushin, actually, in the fourth parak, tries to sort it out. Which halachas over there in the parasha are referenced to a Kohen Gadol, which are referenced to the Kohen Hedyot. Over there, the Gemara in the cotton focuses on one of the psukim there in Yecheskel Perek Mem Dalet. It's a pasuk in pasuk of Zion there, and it says when the kohen goes to the kodesh lachotz hapnimis l'shoyes b'kodesh to the courtyard to mishores yakriv chatosoy neum Hashem Elokim. So he offers his chatos. What in the world does that mean? What kind of a halacha is that a kohen gadol is is coming to do avoda? So he brings his chatos. Well, what kind of a chatos? What are we talking about altogether? And the Gemara over there, Cotton Tessayan says, Yakriv Chatosoi, Zu Asiris Ho'efa Shaloi. That's a reference to Asiris Ho'efa Shaloi. Now, what is this Asiris Ho'efa Shaloi? As Rashi says over there, and Toises over there agrees with Rashi, Moed Cotton Tessayan, that is a reference to what's called the Minchas Chinuch of any Kohen, not just a Kohen Gadol, any Kohen, a Kohen Hedyot, whatever he is. When the first time he comes to the Avoida, to be Meschanech La Avoida, to inaugurate himself in doing of the Avoida, he has to bring a Minchas Minchas Chinuch, that's Mechanechim, and that's Minchas Chinuch, it's mentioned in Parashas Tzav, that's the Yakrev Chatosoi that the Gemara is talking about, which is being Miyachas to the Kohen and the Pasuk in Yechezkel. In other words, that Rashi and Tosafot, they both speak at the Beferush, that Pasuk is talking not about Kohen Gadol specific, but rather talking about a Kohen Hedid, and it's talking about when he's coming around to do the Avodah for the first time. Truth is, it fits, in a certain sense, it fits pretty well in the Pasuk. In other words, he's being mechanic himself to avoid them. And Yaakov Chatosai no Hashem Elokim. Bemes Tois over there in by Kotan Daf Tezayin matters a little bit. How did Rashi know this? Is Rashi so sure that it's talking about the Asiris Ha'efa of the Kohen Hediot that he brings once, not every day, but once at the beginning of his avoida, once for the rest of his life? How did Rashi know that maybe the Gemara and the Pasuk are really talking about the Asiris Ha'efa of the King Godl, which is brought daily, every single day, half in the morning, half in the afternoon, and that's the Mechas Chavitim, which is also a sum total of an Asir Sa'if for the same quantity, and maybe that's what the Gemara is talking about. The Tosis Frekt is a question on Rashi. How did Rashi know what he is saying? The Tosis brings two pshatim. One pshat, Tosis says, is because it's mashma in the simple context of the pasukim right before that is talking about Kohen Hedid as well, because the pasuk right before it talks about El Meis Adam Loyove Latama, that if anybody, relative, if a person dies, this Kohen is not allowed to metame himself, ki him, except for La'ovu La'em La'bein La'bas La'och La'ochais, etc. So then, that's Itamo. So that's talking about a Kohen Hedid, as we know. In the beginning of Parshas Emor, it speaks out in the pasukim that a Kohen Hedid is metame lekroivov, even though it's not metame to others. Then God was not metame even lekroivov. So that's a rare raya from the pasuk right before this one, says Tosis, that we're talking in the context about a kohen hedid, and therefore the pasuk a little bit after, which talks about the biyon beil hakodesh, is talking the same kohen hedid, and it's talking about the inaugural offering that he brings at the beginning of his life of avoda, and that's the mechas chinuch. And that's how Rashi knew that we're not talking about a kohen gadol that does a mechas avitim every day. Another thing Tosis says, that we rather have that this pasuk is epis telling us a chiddush. You know, it's in Yecheskel, a simple idea is that it's supplementing the things that are not mamash befurish bekra and not explicit in the pesukim and chumash. Since the minchas chavitim of the kohen gadol is explicit in the pesukim in parashas tzav, whereas the minchas chinuch is just derived from what seems to be a drosh in the pesukim, we'll come back to that nether in a moment. So therefore, it says Tosis, you'd rather have that the gemara is dashing for the pasuk in Yecheskel, the korban which is not befurish bekra, which is not explicit in Tzav, and therefore we'd rather say that that's referring to the Menchas Chinuch of the Kohen Hedid. That's what it says in Rashi and in Tosfos in Me'ikot and Daf Tezayin. However, in Rashi and Tosfos in the Sugya in Menachas on Kuf Ches that we mentioned before, over there, in order to explain the Sugya, that we have a Gansa Machloik, it's a whole Shiloh dispute between Rabbi Yochanan ben Elazar about the Menchas, the leftovers of the Menchas, of the Asir Seifer Kohen Gadol, of the daily offering Kohen Gadol, those leftovers, Rabbi Elazar says that they go in a Dava, and Rabbi Yochanan says that they get destroyed. And what's the underlying idea? Which remember that according to the Bavli, it seems to be more in the Gemara, it depends on whether it's called a Chatas, because this idea of going, the leftovers of a carbon going in a Dava, according to the Bavli, only applies to a Chatas, and the Drasha from the Medes Yehoyada is about a sin type of offering. So therefore, Rashi and Tosafot Adir Menach is saying that this Pasuk in Yechezkel of Yakriv Chatosoi, Bien Bela Kodesh, Yakriv Chatosoi, is talking about a Kohen Gadol's daily offering of the Asiris Ha'efa, and Rashi quotes the same Gemara in Mayakot and Daf Tezayin, and over there in Menachos, Rashi explains that Sugi Menachos of Yaakov Chatosoi, the Asiris Ha'efa, is a reference to the Michas Chavit and Kohen Gadol, which is offered every day, and that's why, in other words, to explain, that's why we find in Tanakh, in the Pasuk in Yecheskel, as explained by the Gemara in Mayakot, that the Michas Chavit of the Kohen Gadol is called a Chatosoi. Now, Rashi says, it doesn't mean that it comes from an Aveira. Rather, the word chatas in this context is like from the Sherish of chitu, which means to chitoy, which means to purify oneself, to become holier and to become purer and better. And the Kohen Gadol has to become that, and he needs it each day because he's the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, it's in the sense of a chitu, Yaakov Chatosai. At any rate, that's how Rashi explains the underlying idea behind the Sugya Menachos. So you really do find that the Kohen Gadol's Chavitim is called a chatas in Yecheskel, but if I hold like Rabbi Yochanan, then them, especially memayed from the Vindinim like a chatos anyway, and therefore that's mechatos he. The pasuk by mechas choyte says chatos he. The he is stressed only the true mechas choyte, the real sin offering is has a dinim of a chatos. The mechas kengol is not called a chatos, even though it's referred to as chatosoi in the pasuk in Yecheskel. Doesn't have the dinim, and therefore that's Rabbi Yochanan holds that the leftovers of a mechas chavitim of a kengol does not go l'nedava. So again, we're looking to find in Masechta Menachos local, specific shailas and limudim about whether the chavitim of a kengodl is called a chatos or not. We're not going with the kloliastic perspective of the Yerushalmi that says that it's just a question of whether it's called a kachim, which suffices according to Belozer. Now, there's a big steer here between Rashi and Tosis and Katan, who understand that the pasuk of Yachach Chatosoy in Cheskel is talking about the Kain Hedioit's inaugural minchas chinuch that he brings the first time in his life, he does avoid. And the Rashi and Tosis in Menachos that they learn based on what really seems to be in the Gemara there. In the Gemara, they were talking about the Mechas Havitim of the Kain Gadol, where I have a starting presumption that it's called a Chatos unless I'm specially memayed it, and that's the question that underlies the Machloikis about whether the leftovers of the Mechas Havitim of the Kain Gadol are going to go Linadova. It's a big stira, Rashi and Tosis in cutting with Rashi and Tosis in Menachos. So the Mishnah Saliyot, which is on the bottom of the page in the Yerushalmi here, points this out, and he says that Rashi and Tosis L'chayzer from Masechta Me'katan to Masechta Menachos, and the final maskana of Rashi and Tosis is based upon what really is Mavur in the Sugya in Menachos, pretty clearly, that we do have a question about the Chavitim of the Kohen Gadol, whether it is called a Chatos in some level, or whether it's Nismayet. So apparently the Yaakov Chatosoi of Yechezko and of the Sugya Me'katan was talking about Kohen Gadol's offering, the Chavitim of Kohen Gadol, and Rashi and Tosis changed their minds from what they originally were understanding in the Sugya in Ma'at Katan, that the Yaakov Chatosoi of Yecheskel is talking about the Michas Chinuch of any kind headed on the first day. Now this is obviously Dochuk, this Pshat of the Mishnah Saliyot. He says Rashi and Tosis changed their mind because they saw that in Menachos he won't have any other Pshat. Good, but it's obviously a forced Pshat that both Rashi and Tosis changed their mind based on a clear Gemara in Menachos. How were they originally learning? So there is actually another Mahalach. There's another approach in the Har Ephraim over here in Shkolim. And the Har Ephraim says a big yesod, which he explains based upon an observation in the Psukim in Parashas Tzav, and he follows it up with Rishonim. And this is a yesodiastic understanding of the Psukim in Tzav. The Psukim in Parashas Tzav about the Mechas Chinuch and about the Mechas Chavitim are in Perek Vov and Pasuk Yud Beis and on. And the Pasuk really puts everything together in the Pshuta Shemikra, like we said before, is talking about the Kohen Gadol's Chavitim. But it's very modern how the way the Psukim put everything all together on the drasha level, the pshat level. It says Zekob and Aaron Uvonav Ashiyakrivul Hashem biyoyin Himosha Choisoi. That's on the day of the entering Zech, on the day of becoming inaugurated. And the simple understanding biyoyin Himoshach will be we're talking about an idea, something which you do at the beginning, like a Mechas Chinuch. And it says Asir Saifa Soiles, and you bring in Asir Saifa. Then it says Mincha Tomid. This is a Karmicha, which is Tomid, which is always Machtsisa Baboyker, Machtsisa Baerev, and it's brought a half in the morning and half in the evening. So Mamet says that this pasuk contains a bit of a stira, because the beginning of the pasuk says b'yom himoshach choisoi, it's mashma, it's a one-time thing. The end of the pasuk says mincha tomid, is mashma, that it's a always thing, it's forever. And in fact, that is the din by the Kohen Gadol. In fact, as the Chazal understand it, the Kohen Gadol's din is to bring a mincha chavitim, which in fact is a mincha tomid, machtzis ba'boker, and machtzis ba'erev. And in fact, the Har Ephraim points out that Chazal understood on the drasha level that the pasuk is koiled both, and that's why the beginning is being Moshe Choyse, which is inaugural, only inaugural, and that's the Minchas Chinuch, which is brought by every single kohen, even a kohen hediot on the day he's mischanach la'avoida, and that's the Miyoy Himoshach. The end of the pasuk is Mincha Tomid, and Bemis, the truth is the end of the pasuk is Mincha Tomid Machtzisa V'Boyka Machtzisa V'Erev. The answer is a special halacha that a kohen gadol has, a kohen hediot doesn't have, that it's split, and it's half in the morning and half in the afternoon. That's the chavit, the kohen gadol, which is brought every day. L'shem the kohen gadol. It's split up like that. The mechas chinuch of the kohen. It is not split up. So this pasuk is really koilo tuba zundere karbonos, and all in one. In the simple sense, you have to matrik a little bit and say it's going on the kohen gadol, and the whole thing is on the kohen gadol. But Chazal understood the himoshach, the inaugural, the beginning of the pasuk, that's telling us another din al derech hadrasha, also telling us about the kohen hediot, that he brings the mechas chinuch at the inaugural day. So the Har Ephraim says that if you look in the Sefer Yireyim that counts up all the mitzvahs, so he says, if you look in the Yireyim, the Yireyim says, Tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the mitzvah of the Minchas Chinuch, Tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'yom Mischanach Kein Hedit Lavoide, V'koyein Godoy Li'oilam, he puts them both together. It's one mitzvah, B'yom Mischanach Kein Hedit Lavoide, they Kein Hedit gets inaugurated to Avoide, and V'koyein Godoy Li'oilam, Kein Godoy each and every day, She'yaviyu Asiris Ha'efel Mincha, etc., etc. The Vayis HaKoyis, it's one din, one mitzvah, and apparently all one halacha, says the Har Ephraim. He says, likewise, you find the same thing in the Smag, that he also says a lashon like that. The Kohen Hedyot once, and the Kohen Gadol each and every day, and the Smag ends over there, in Asei Kuf Pei Vav, that it says that Kohen Hedyot is called a Nikra Mechas Chanoch, the Shal Kohen Gadol Nikra Mechas Chavintim. In other words, that it's all being put together as one din, as one mitzvah. Kohen Gadol halacha is not to stop after the first day, but rather to keep on going, and there's a unique way that it gets split in half, and etc. Those are all details, but the fundamental halacha is that the Kayahein Hedyad offers this special inaugural entry type of Michas Chinuch on the first day, and Kohen Gadol, he's Halig, and he's special, has a special role, and he does it, he mamshich, and he does it every single day, and he has that din of the Mincha Tomid. The Har Ephraim wants to tell you that if you read carefully the Teres Kehanim and the Psukkim over there, it's also mashma like that, because the Teres Kehanim over there goes, and it speaks out that maybe I would have said that the Kohen Gadol's carbon stops after day one as well, and it says no, that since it says Mincha Tamid, so therefore Mincha Tamid means that it's Ad Olam. In other words, that the Har Ephraim argues that the idea that the Kohen Gadol's Mincha is each and every day, and day in and day out, and doesn't stop, that's a continuation of the day one halacha, but fundamentally it's all the same idea, that you're entering to avoid it to Hashem, and you have to do a special Mincha, to be Roy Lakach, to be fitting for it. The Kohen Hedyot does that once, the first day, Kohen Gadol continues it each and every day. So Meila, based upon that, says the Har Ephraim, he says, even though Rashi and Tosfos are correct, in Masechta Moed Katan and Tosfos brings the Rayas, that we are going to assume that the simple sense of the Pasuk in Yecheskel of Yakriv Chatosoy is talking about any Kohen, not just the Kohen Gadol, it's talking about any Kohen that he does a Minchas Chinuch when he's coming the first time to do the Avodah. Despite that, if we find over there that the Kohen Hedyot's Mincha, the Minchas Chinuch, is called a Yakriv Chatosoy, it's called by the label of a Chatos, then we're going to understand that our own, that that label is given, it's given to the Kohen Gadol's daily Chavitim offering as well. Because the Kohen Gadol's daily Chavitim offering is the same label, it's the same Shem as the Kohen Hedyot's Minchas Chinuch. It's just a special din to continue each day in a particular manner, splitting it, and etc. But that Chatos label, if it's given to the Minchas Chinuch, is automatically going to be applicable as well to the Minchas Chavit Kohen Gadol. That's why Rashi and Tosfos in Menachas Kuf Ches are able to say this thing, that the Yakrev Chatosoy is applied by the Gemara to the Chavit Kohen Gadol as well. Not because that's a simple sense of the Pasuk, but because it's automatically included in Chavit Kohen Gadol once I know that that Pasuk is said about the Mechas Chinuch of the Kohen Hedyot. This is the Pshat of the Har Ephraim. At any rate, the bottom line is that it's a big machloikas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi about understanding this question about the Asiyah Sefer, the Kohen Gadol. Why, I would say, according to Balazs, that it's Lenadava. According to the Bavli, it's because it's called the Chatos, and the Chatos has that din that the leftovers go to the Kaisers Bech. According to the Yerushalmi, it's a collective halacha, collected with other cases and dinim, that based upon the, being leftovers of the Kochi Kochim as a whole. Reb Chaim Kanievsky in the Shekel HaKodesh, in the Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Beis, in the Bi'ah Halacha, worked to try to figure out how the Rambam paskins Ladina, like the Bavli, or like the Yerushalmi. So Reb Chaim Kanievsky brings down that there is a bit of a ha'ora in the Rambam. You got to figure out the Shitas HaRambam. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Shkolim over there in Gimel Yud Beis paskins that Moisa Shkolim Lenadova. That's like Shmuel speaks out over here, that the leftovers of Shkolim, that they go to Kayetz Mizbeach. Good, that's the Rambam paskins, like Shmuel. But when the Rambam gets to the Moisa Asir Sa'if of the Kohen Gadol, that the leftovers of Asir Sa'if of the Kohen Gadol, what do you do with that? So the other Rambam passes like Rabbi Yochanan, not like Rabbi Lozer. He passes like the Yochanan and says, and like he says in the Bavli, that Yerokev, that it's left to be decayed. So it's not, it does not go in the Dova. Now the Yerushalmi says these two Shitas are identical. You know, the Yerushalmi says it, it's just part of a collective of a bunch of different cases and Shitas that say that the leftovers of a Kodshe Kodshim always go in the Dova. So Abraham Knievsky says it would seem that Rambam doesn't passkin like the Yerushalmi, rather he passes like the Bavli. According to the Bavli, you have to be done each case by itself, because you have to figure out what cases are called that they could get a label of a leftovers of a chatos, and what cases can't. So he says that the Rambam held al pi the derech of the Bavli that the reason why Shmuel is going to hold that Moisar of the Masa Shekel is going to go in the Dava is not because the Yerushalmi is using because it happens to be Kodshe Kodshim, but the reason is because the Masa Shekel includes Korbonos that go lechatos, so you know, all Korbonos Sibra both the Masa Shekel, and some of the Masafim are chatois, by each Yontif, you bring a chatos, and therefore, since it goes somewhat toward a chatos, so the leftovers of the Masa Shekel, when the guy dies, that's called Moisar Chatos monies, because the Masa Shekel was going somewhat to chatos, that's why, according to the Bavli, as the Rambam is passing, that's why it goes in a Dava. Now, Sheen came once you get to Moisar Asir, so for the leftovers, this African Godel, that since that case has a special Miyot Hakra, according to Abiyochan and the Bavli, right? Ki chatos he, that only a Mechaschoite is called a chatos, and the leftover Chavita King Godel is not called a chatos, but the God to Halocha. So therefore, since there's a Miyot that excludes the Asir Sefer King Godel, from Chavita King Godel, from being called a chatos for the purpose of Halocha, so therefore, that's why the Rambam says that the leftovers do not go Linadova to Kaisers Bech, but rather it is Hiroche. So Chen Kinyevsky seems to accept that the Rambam Paskins like the Bavli, and everything depends on whether it's called a chatos. However, after that, Chen Kinyevsky goes with the Bekiyus and other Rambams and shows that there's steers in the Shitas of Rambam as to whether the Rambam Paskins Beklal, in general, that leftovers of Kodshe Kodshim monies do go Linadova, which is like the Yerushalmi, or doesn't Paskin that way, and he ends up with something of a Tzorachian to understand all the different places of the Rambam. Some places indicated, in other words, that Rambam does seem to accept the Yerushalmi and just Paskins that Moisar of Kodshe Kodshim altogether is going to go Linadova. Now the Mishnah goes on, the Mishnah tells us in Aloha Hey over here, that if you have Moisar Hameis, in other words, money was collected for the Tzorach Hameis, for Tachrich and for Kvura, for the needs of the taking care of the dead, the burial of the dead, so what happens if there's money left over? So there's three Shitas in the Mishnah. Tanakama says it goes to Yerushov, it goes to the heirs of the Meis. Remeir says, the Moisar Hameis Yemunach HaChiyov Elio, you have to leave it until Elio comes, you don't know what to do with it. And Ramnasin says that Moisar Hameis is Boinei Le Nefesh Al Kivroi, they use it to build a monument, a Seva on the kever. So those are the three shitas. Does it go to the Yershin? Does it go left to left? Or do we say it goes toward the monument? The various Meforshim over here, the Rash Tzevilio and others, bring down Gemara. Sanhedrin daf mem chesam et aleph, that the Gemara over there says that Rava said that the three-way machloikas over here is explained like this. Because every time when you collect money for the dead, there's always a zilusa, there's always a cheapening, a bit of a degrading of the kavod of the dead, the fact that they have to raise money and go to a whole charity collection to get the money for his needs. That's called a zilusa for the dead. So the Tanakhama holds that the mace, if there's leftover money, the mace would be, if you would be able to ask him, he'd be mochel a zilusa legabe yershim. He'd be willing to be moichel his disgrace in order that his heirs, who are after all relatives of his and his survivors, his descendants, so the mace will be willing to allow that degrading the cheapening of him, of his kavod, that it should go toward the yersh, be willing to have that. Whereas Rabbi Nasan at the end of the Mishnah, he holds that the mace is not moichel his degrading experience for the yersh, and that he wants to go, the mace would want to go to himself, so therefore you have to use it to build a monument on the kever. Rabbi wasn't sure, he was mesupik about whether the mace will be willing to be moichel on that degradation to the Yerushim, or he wouldn't be. Should it go to his own monument, or should it go for the needs of the Yerushim, to go to the Yerushim, and therefore the Torah says, that's how the Gemara explains, and it's put down in the Mefarshim over here. The Gemara explains this in Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Ches. There is a fundamental question over here in the Mefarshim to understand what that means, that when the mace is left of money for the mace, so according to the Tanakhama, it's going to go to Yerushim, it goes to the heirs. Is there a real concept of Yerusha involved over here? And really, when it comes right down to it, the fundamental question to ask is not just about the Yerusha, but to ask, is there a monetary right that the mace has? Is there any sense in which the mace actually owns this money? Remember that it wasn't his at the time when he died. It was raised for him after his death in order to take care of the funeral needs. So is there any way that the mace actually owns that money such that we should be able to say that since the mace wouldn't be insistent that it should go for himself, for his own monument, we'll let it go with the regular Yerusha sense and go over to the heirs, to the Yerushim, like a Yerusha? What do I say? This is totally impossible because he's dead, and dead people can't earn anything anyway, and consequently we have to find some other mechanism to explain the sugya because it can't be a true Yerusha. The Tshuvas HaRashba in Chelek Aleph, in Siman Shinai in Hay, has a tshuva there which the Achronim fight over a bit, which and on this very Shiloh. The Rashba over there brings down a question about some, if you had a dead, then there was needed the funeral needs. So somebody was mezakeh the money to this dead person for the funeral needs. In other words, he gave over the money to someone who was collecting that money. He gave it over, a large sum of money, as to go toward the funeral needs. And then subsequently, after he was mezakeh and handed it over, he said, "I'm taking it back. I changed my mind. I want it for myself." And they got into a big fight as to whether he could take it back. And the person who wanted, the donor who wanted to take it back, he argued that it's impossible for a dead to be coin anything in the first place. How could a dead body be coin anything? And therefore, it never became his. And consequently, I want to have the right to take it back. The Tumas Rashba responded over there by saying that it's not correct and he cannot take it back. And he brings down the sugya over here in Masechta Shkalim, where it says that when you collect money for the dead, so the money goes toward the dead. And in fact, if you have less of money, then it goes toward the Yerushim. And therefore, says the Rashba, that if you collect money for the dead, we say that the moment that the Gabbai takes it, it was zaychenet for him, for his need, for his honor, and it's considered something which is now designated to the needs and the honor of the dead, and therefore it becomes impossible to take it back. This is what it says in the Tshuvas HaRashba. Now, does the Rashba mean literally, in the literal sense, that it's owned by the dead, like a mamash in ownership? And this is where the Achrenim got into an argument. The Kevet Shiurim in Chelek Aleph and Masechta Ksuvos Daf Pei Vav Amud Aleph brings in a Machne Ephraim and Tzchi Matan Olam Aleph, where the Machne Ephraim brings this Rashba and he says he does not believe that it's possible to learn the Rashba that the Rashba meant because it's some kind of a monetary acquisition that the mace was koine, because the Machne Ephraim says, how could a mace be koine anything? It's impossible. We know that dead people can't be koine a thing. And therefore, the correct pshat, says the Machne Ephraim, as you have to say, is not any kind of monetary kinyan and acquisition, Elo, that since the mace underwent a degradation, a disgrace, when they were goyve, they collected money in his name. So therefore, Chazal said that since he got disgraced, we're not going to allow you to take that money back from him. In other words, it would be a din the Chazal enacted because of the fact that the mace underwent this disgrace and this bizoyon, and therefore it's impossible to take it back. That's all that the Rashi meant. Nisbaza hameis mishagovu al shmoy. The Bachanan over there points out about this Machne Ephraim's idea. He says, on the one hand, the Machne Ephraim is not coming out of nowhere, because the Gemara does say that the mace is nisbazeh when you collect that money. It undergoes a degradation. That's why you have, the Gemara says, a whole shaila, a machloikis, about whether the mace would have been maskim. He would agree, if you could ask, that it should go to the heirs. After all, he was nisbazeh. Would he agree or not? So clearly, the fact that there's a degradation is brought in the Gemara and discussed in the context of the Mishnah. But to say, he says, Rabbi Chana, that that's the sole reason why it goes to the mace in the first place, that has no source in the Gemara. The Gemara seems to be using this simply to determine what you do with the leftover money, what the mace would have wanted, etc., but not that that's why it goes to the mace in the first place. Rabbi Chanan argues, based upon a close reading of the various Rashbis, that he says that it actually is a kinyan. It's mamash a kinyan that the mace acquires it. He says, we never find such a thing. You always find that dead people cannot acquire anything. He says, no, this is different because this is the needs of the dead. How often do you have a case where the dead have needs? The dead doesn't have needs generally. But here, the dead does have a need because he has to be buried and he needs a funeral, etc., and therefore the tachrichim, the shrouds, and for such a thing, if the dead would have needs, which they do over here, then you'll be able to be kinder. A rather incredible idea. And Machanan says that that's the close and accurate, correct reading of the Rashba, is that it's based upon a true shiloh of a Kenyan. That the mace is actually kinder. He actually acquires, and that's the Rashba meant to say. That's why you can't take it back. Now, Machanan himself points out, and if you look it up inside, you see that the Yad Ramah, one of the great Rishonim, Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Mem Ches, right over there in the Sugya, the Machanan points that the Yad Ramah brings in an idea of it not being a true Kenyan. But if you look it up inside, it seems the Yad Ramah has to start him on this matter, whether the mace actually acquires it and that's why it goes to the heirs, or it's got nothing to do with that, but rather that since it was collected for the purpose of the mace, we say that if any leftover money would go for how the mace would want it to go, you know? And since according to the Tanakhamba, we assume the mace would have wanted it to go to the heirs and be mocha on his degradation, because he wants the heirs to have benefit from him, so therefore that's why it goes to the heirs. At any rate, the Yad Ramah has clearly to start him about whether it's a true monetary acquisition and there's some type of actual Yerusha here, or it's simply a new enactment. It's part of the din of tzedakah, is that those that gave the tzedakah gave it according to understanding of the needs of the dead and the leftovers according to what the dead would want. And we assume, according to the Tanakhama, that the dead would want that it should go toward the heirs. So it's actually a machlokes rishonim. The Avni Nezer in a tshuva in a chelik chayshin mishpatim and memalof has a shaila that he was asked about a kever isho elokim. In other words, a helig yid that they had the meaning, of course, that the people go to the kever of a helig yid of a tzaddik and they daven and it's a schus for the koyach of the person that's buried there. It helps for the tefillah. So over there was a kever isho elokim of a tzaddik that they had a whole the gaboyim and shamoshim over there that they were taking money from people and who were coming to daven over there by the kever, and the chazonim and the gaboyim and the shamoshim, they were making an income from the people who were going over there to the kever and were paying these shamoshim. So all of a sudden one day, one of the enikluch, one of the grandchildren of the tzaddik, got up and he grabbed away the key from the shamoshim, and he said from now on he's going to be running the show and he's going to be taking the money for himself, because he said that he is a yoyresh, and a meila, since he's a yoyresh, he has the rights to any income that comes from the kever. And therefore, that he feels he has to take it away. And that was the shaila that was asked of the Avni Nezer. Could the Yerush come with the koyach of Yerusha and take the money, the income that's coming from this kever? The Avni Nezer writes that we have to consider whether there really is such a thing, the koyach of Yerusha, but the income that's coming into this kever, so to speak, belongs somehow to the mace, and then it can go b'teres Yerusha to the bonim. Is there such a thing or not? And he brings in our Mishnah, our sugya in Shkolim, he brings in the sugya in Zenejim and Ches, and he learns, based upon a ran that he brings, that in fact the whole thing is not b'teres Yerusha at all. In other words, Avni Nezer learns, like the Mahalach, that it's all just a question of tzedakah, and it's a question of what the mace would have wanted, when they collected money for the purpose of the mace, for the needs of the mace, and it was a tzedakah, because collected for the purpose of the mace, what would he want the money to eventually go to? And we say, according to the Tanakhama, he wanted to eventually go to the Yerushim. But that's how the Avni Nezer brings from the Ran. He says, Avada, the whole thing is not based upon some kind of a financial halachas in which there's some type of a Yerusha, a real inheritance. And he says, the whole thing is based upon the tzedakah. And he says, that's all one thing when the mace has needs because it's on the spot and it just died and they have to collect money for the burial needs. But over here, it's not a tzedakah in the first place. A person goes down to the kever and he's paying some sort of a fee to attend the kever. Where is it? Tzedakah. The mace doesn't need that money at all, and why should that even be called a tzedakah? Therefore, the Avni Nezer writes like this. He says that Bechlal, to force people to give money, to charge them an actual fee in order to daven at the kever, he says he holds that Bechlal does not have to set a thing altogether. What's your right to charge people for it? He says even if they have a special place, a special monument or something that's dedicated to the mace, that's also Bahanoah, because the Tashmishi mace are also Bahanoah, and you can't get any benefit to charge money for them in some way. And as far as giving tzedakah, there's no, the mace doesn't have any need for tzedakah, so there's no excuse to charge people for the money. Elamah, you ask for donations and people come and they give donations. So I'm beseder, let them give donations, but why should that donation have to dafka go to the Yerush when there's really no concept of Yerusha here in the first place? So they say, actually, the Gaboyim and the Shamoshim that were keeping the place together till now, they perhaps should continue to get the monies. The only thing is, says the Avni Nezer, that you could always argue that since you want to have the Schus of the Tzaddik and that's why you came all the way here, so supporting the indigent, needy descendants of the Tzaddik, probably something that the Tzaddik would be merotze in, it would give you a special schus, doing something which the tzaddik would want, is supporting his descendants. So he says, therefore, it does make sense that the enikel should get some money too. He says he would suggest that they should set up a pushkel, shame the enikel, set up a pushkel that anybody who wants could give some donations, shame the enikel, and it would help for the purpose of this schus, to supporting the descendants of the mace. But not that there's, in his case, that there's any shum monetary rights to it whatsoever, which Avni Nezer's understanding is that there aren't any monetary rights here in the first place. It's just a shiloh how to give the tzedakah. The way we said, even according to the Kevet Shiurim, that does want to say, at least in some Rishayim, that it is a question of monetary rights, and therefore there's an actual inheritance when there's leftover monies, and the Sarcha makes an inheritance that goes to the Yerushim. But even the Kevet Shiurim agrees that that's all because what? Because it was Sarcha makes, and he claims that it's possible to say a Chiddush that a mace could acquire monies that are for his own benefit, for his Kevura, the burial, tachrichim, shroud, and etc. But over here, in this particular case, we're talking well after the mace died. There's certainly, according to everyone, could agree to this, that there's no actual monetary halachas associated with it, and no way that the Yerush could claim a koyach of Yerusha. The Gemara says a little down the Omer here that Tani Reb Shim Gon Liel Loimer, Shim Gon Liel said that Ein Oisim Nefoshois L'Tzadikim Devreihem Hein Hein Zechroinim. In other words, the word Nefoshois over here in this Gemara, like the Mephoshim say, refers to a monument. There's an Indian of making a matzeva, a monument and a grave. But for a tzaddik, the Gemara says, we do not do this thing because their words, and some Mephoshim add in their deeds, their Livrei Torah, the deeds that they did, they live on after them. People repeat them in their name. Devreihem Hein Hein Zechroinim, they're remembered through their words and their maisim. And therefore, there's no concept of making a monument and a foshois, a matzeva for the tzaddik, because their words, the vrem hein hein zechroinen. The Moshe has a couple of yesodistic important shuvas in the Igros Moshe Yeredeya Gimel and Kufn Dalet and Yeredeya Dalet and Unzayin, where the Moshe discusses whether there is a true chiyuv to build a matzeva over a kever altogether, that the Yerushim are they mechuyah to come up with the money to build a matzeva, and what does it mean in the Gemara when the Gemara says that you don't make nefashas of tzaddikim? Does it mean that there's somehow an isra of some kind to do it, or do we say that it just means that it's a reshus and not an actual chiyuv? The Moshe points out, of course, that although the Gemara says that we do not make a matzeva for a tzaddik, it still does appear that the minig for who knows how long, Darius and Darius, has always been that they do make matzeva for the tzaddik, and in fact, the Moshe points out a lot of times they make it very fancy, so everybody should know about it and come and daven there, so we don't even seem to keep to this Yerushalmi, and it's one thing if the Yerushalmi held it with a reshus, you understand that better, you know? It's not a chiyuv to make a matzeva for the tzaddik, but we decide we want to do it. But if the Yerushalmi was saying that it's a chiyuv, an iser, is that what it means? It's not clear in the lashon. The Yerushalmi just meant that it's an iser, then in fact, says Reb Moshe, so then it would be very schwer. You know, why are we ignoring this Yerushalmi and making a matzeva for the tzaddik? Now the truth is, we'll come back to Reb Moshe has a couple of important discussions. The Shevet Levir of Vosner, just to mention briefly, has a tshuva in Chelek Gimel Kuf Samach Beis, in which he said befeirish that it's a reshus, it's not meant to be an iser of any kind to make a matzeva for the tzaddik, and it just means to say it's not a chiyuv because they remembered without it, because the freyam hein is a chren. He actually quotes a Meiri that says it pretty clearly. The Meiri says, might have here in Shkolem, ki a tzaddikim hamafor samav achayim mavhokim ain't tzrichen liv nois nefesh. That's a lashon. You don't need to build a nefesh to build a monument. It's not a need, not a necessity. And the Meiri is meduyik that there in fact is a reshus. If you want, you can build a matzeva for the tzaddik. It's not an iser. Now, Reb Moshe, interestingly enough, has these two tshuvas. He does not appear to take the same approach in the two tshuvas. Reb Moshe deals with the question, a basic question, is there a chiyuv to put up a monument, a matzeva for a kever? And Reb Moshe brings down, at least by a non-tzaddik, he brings that the Rambam says clearly in Perek Dalet, Hilchas Ovel, and Halacha Dalet, the Rambam says very clearly, is matik lahalacha, the din of building a matzeva on a kever, even though it doesn't seem to be mefurish, Reb Moshe says anywhere in Shas, Bavli Ushami, it doesn't say black on white to the chiyuv to build a matzeva, but nonetheless says Reb Moshe, the Ram brings it, the Ram's lashon over there in Hilchos Avel is ubayin a nefesh al a kever, that you build a nefesh that's a monument of the kever. The Ram says that tzaddikim emenichem nefesh al kever. By a tzaddik you don't put a nefesh on the kever, and the Ram says that we'll get into Mitzvah Shem. The Ram actually paskins lahalacha this distinction between a regular person. The Ram actually brings there is a chiyuv to put a matzeva on the kever, and by a tzaddik, the Rambam says that you don't put the matzeva on the kever. Reb Moshe points out that in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch, and other Rishonim, he says you really don't find this chiyuv of making matzeva that he brought down. But it's mefurish in the Rambam, but it's not brought down in the other Rishonim. Reb Moshe actually wants to suggest that it could be, we'll see, that he holds that the Torah, in fact, does not paskin this thing, that there's a chiyuv to put a matzeva on the kever. But he says that the Rambam holds that la'alocha, there is a chiyuv to put a matzeva on the kever. But Moshe says that although it's not beferish, you could argue that it could be meduyik, it could be derived. Why? Because if you understand Shan the Yerushalmi that ain oisim lefashal tzaddikim means that it's not a chiyuv to make a monument for the tzaddik, and that iser it's not either, which is mashma like that, says Moshe, from the fact that we don't consider it to be oser to make a monument for a tzaddik, because we do it all the time. So vayis tois we hold the Meshalmi just meant it's a rishus. If that's the case, then apparently by a regular person is not a tzaddik, and follows that it would be an actual chiyuv to make a matzeva for the kever, and that's all you had to say about the tzaddik. That's not a chiyuv. So tzaddik is a reshus, not a chiyuv, apparently, by regular people, it would actually be a chiyuv. So Reb Moshe is a, here we have a shtickle steer. It's very interesting. There's two different drachim in the two tshuvas near Reb Moshe. In the first one, Yeredeya Gimel Kuf Nun Dalet, Reb Moshe says that we hold like the Rambam. He says they see people go like the Rambam because everybody always puts up a monument, a matzeva for the kevers. The vaisachoyis that we hold that it's an actual chiyuv to put up a matzeva for a kever, which means that we hold like the Rambam. Are you going to ask Victor Moshe that in the Mishnah it's Mashva Vaker, it's not an actual Chiv? Because our Mishnah says there's three sheets about what to do when you have leftover monies, and only one of them, Reb Nosson, he holds that you make a matzeva on the kever, then boinu nefesh ala kever. Tanakama doesn't even hold that way altogether. Tanakama says that it goes to the Yerushim. So for Victor Moshe, it's apparent that we don't collect money in the first place to make a matzeva on the kever. According to nobody do we do that. Even according to Reb Nosson, we would only use it for a matzeva if the money's left over. So apparently, according to no one, are we collecting money for a matzeva. Why?
And what about the other? It's like any tzorchei ameis. If you hold it a chiyuv to make a matzeva, so just like collecting money for the funeral, for the burial, for the tachrichim, the shrouds, so collect money for the matzeva. Apparently, it's not a chiyuv. The Ramayshin name, even though there really is a chiyuv according to Rambam to make a matzeva on the kever, but that's the kvoyle of the mace. It's the honor of the mace. It's not a real integral need of the tzorchei ameis, a true tzorich, the way the tachrichim, the shrouds, and the kever are. So therefore, according to Rambam, when I'm collecting tzedakah to take from the kol al tzedakah, that I'm only going to take for the absolute needs of the mace, which is the shroud, the kever, but we're not going to take something which is an add-on covered for the mace, that you're not taking on tzedakah monies, and that's why the Mishnah is assuming that we didn't collect money for the matzeva and the tzedakah monies, only if they happen to be left over, then I have a shiloh for yudah for the tzedakah monies. But, Dr. Moshe, if the heirs are able to afford it, so then the halacha is that we do tell the heirs to put up a matzeva. And Moshe writes, we're not talking about the super expensive, very exorbitant types of matzevas, but that's actually wrong, Dr. Moshe. It's not the right to do that, because he says you find in Masech Tiksubas on Daf Ches that the Gemara says that originally they used to have very, very fancy begodim to bury the mason, and then later on Gamliel was Nohaga Zilusa Ba'atzmoy, that he led the way, so to speak, to bury in simple linen shrouds, and everybody did bury in simple linen things, so it shouldn't be too expensive. But so it's similar over here, says Ramosha, it's not appropriate to spend, who knows, exorbitant sums of the monument. However, a monument, Matzeva Beinanis, Ramosha says, he says it's actually a chiv on the Mishpacha to set up. That's how Ramosha comes out in the first tshuva in Yeridei Gimel Kufn Nun Dalet. Curiously enough, in the second tshuva in Yeridei Dalet Nun Zayin, over there Ramosha seems to say a little bit differently. This is a very interesting thing. Ramosha over there has done a couple of basic questions. He says, is there a source for a chiyuv to put up matzeva from the pasuk by Yankovin with Rochel? The pasuk says in Vayishlach Vayatzav Yankov matzeves matzeva akvurasa he matzeves kuras Rochel at hayoyim. So the pasuk says of Yankov Avinu that he put up matzeva on the kever of Rochel. Maybe that you could nem on that it was a din to do this thing, which Moshe actually does nem on. The Yankov didn't just arbitrarily do it. That's not what the pasuk means. But rather he had a tzivah from Hashem to do it. That's what he says. It's not that Moshe v'meila. Maybe you could learn it from the Ladoiro. He says a chiyuv to put matzeva on the kever. He says that Moshe. What are you going to say? So why, if Taka is based upon the chiyuv that he put on the matzeva, so why is it that all the others in Moshe you don't find that they had matzeva? So the Moritz Machpelah doesn't say anything about putting a matzeva on the Moritz Machpelah. Why not a Moritz Machpelah which should have a matzeva also as well if that Taka a chiyuv? So Moshe says, well, maybe you could say that since they were buried in a special Moora, so there was a kavod in the being buried in the Moora itself. It's a special designated Mokum, a special designated cave, and perhaps we could say it does not need to have a matzeva because of the special kavod of the Moora itself. So the Moshe, but that's not correct, because if you look in the Rambam Perek Dalet, Chazal Halacha Dalet, that we quoted before, the Rambam over there is Mavur, that you put up matzeva even if it's buried in a kuchen, which is the type of caverns that they used to use in time of Chazal, and even then, in all cases, the Rambam is still Mavur, that you're supposed to put up matzeva, says he can't differentiate like that between the other Imois and others and Rochel, and you really must learn, Zot the Moshe, that the reason why we don't have a matzeva by the Ovis and Imois is because the Yushalmi over here that Ein Oisin the Fosha Tzadikim the Reyem Hein Hein Zachroin. That has to be the real reason, and therefore Ovis and Imois they were Tzadikim and Meila therefore. Therefore, they do not need to have a matzeva because their memories last on, live on beyond them without any matzeva. If that's true, nefashal tzadikim. So why by Rochel is the item of Rochel is also a tzadikis? How come by Rochel as well? Why by her also? Do you have over there? Do you have a matzeva? So Moshe says a fort, which Lamaisa the Malbim in Vayishlach Lamed Hey right over there, but Yatsiv Yankiv says a very very similar thing, almost the same as Moshe, that they both learn that by Rochel was unique. It wasn't because the covet of Rochel at all, but rather the reason was because we want the b'chol meshach adoyros, like Chazal say, they want people to always be able to come mespal on the kever of Rochel. And Rav Moshe points out that Rashi in Vayechi alludes to this thing. Meisa alai Rochel v'ekpereh sham b'derech efros. The Rashi says, bear it on the derech, a special thing that the people should come by and mespal on the kever. So Rav Moshe writes, and the Malbim says the same thing over there, that the reason for the matzeva on the kever Rochel is not for the purpose of the kovet ameis, but for to locate it, for a location for people who need it to be able to daven. That's why the Malbim writes, and Moshe says similar, that's Pshat, he matzeves kuras rochel ad hayoyim. But Yatsev Yankim matzeva kurasa, he matzeves kuras rochel ad hayoyim. What's the Pshat, the Pasuk Madgish ad hayoyim? The Pshat is that it was a special tafkid of that matzeva, a special purpose that is needed for all of time, for all of posterity. It wasn't some kind of a temporary need, because you have to have that b'chol hadoyrois, that the Yidden should always, for all of time, be able to daven to Hashem by the kura, by the kever of rochel. That's the Pshat, he matzeves kuras rochel ad hayoyim. So that's how Rav Moshe and really the
the Malbim also, they learn the same way. And it comes out, Rav Moshe says clearly that there's no mocker from Rachel to say that you have to a mitzvah to make a matzeva, because really she'd be potter anyhow, even if there is a chiyuv, because there would be potter there because of the Einus Voshel Tzadikim, she's a tzadikis. And it was a unique need to have a matzeva on Rachel's kever for the reason that we said to be able to daven there. L'maisa, Zotter Moshe, what l'maisa? Is the taka, in fact, a din, a chiyuv to make a matzeva on the kever? So over here, Rav Moshe in the second shuva, in your day of Talid, Rav Moshe says a little bit differently. Over there, Rav Moshe brings the same thing. He says the Rambam brings it down to the chiyuv, the Torah does not bring it down to the chiyuv. The Mashma says, Rav Moshe, that the Torah did not pass into the chiyuv to put up matzeva. Moreover, Rav Moshe adds in your day of Talid that the Shulchan Aruch is nimshach after the Torah. He follows the Torah and also does not bring down to the chiyuv to put up matzeva. And therefore, over there in your day of Talid, Rav Moshe actually comes out that we go la halacha not like the Rambam, contrary to what he says in your day of Gimel, we go like the Rambam. So we don't go with the Rambam. He says, Rav Moshe says that although the many today in America is that people are very makbid, they always put up matzevas, and the same is true in Eretz Yisrael today, Rav Moshe says that in many mekoymos in Europe, you couldn't necessarily afford it, and it was difficult, but particularly in the small villages, and it was fairly common, Rav Moshe says, that they did not always put up matzevas, monuments in Europe, and that's because, in fact, that the halacha l'maisa doesn't really follow that it should be a chiyuv. We hold like the other Rishon. That's what Rav Moshe comes out. That's what he claims. Now, it's a little bit schwer, the truth is, to understand Rav Moshe's final shita, because Rav Moshe is coming out that there's no actual chiyuv to put up matzeva, except he says that today, once it became so ungunuman and accepted, universally accepted that we put up a matzeva on the kever, so now it becomes one of the intrinsic kibudei hameis, things that are done for the honor of the meis, which are intrinsic today simply based upon common practice. If you don't do it, it's a failure of common practice. So that's what Rav Moshe says, today it becomes a chiyuv because of our practice. But it's not an etzem intrinsic chiyuv, because intrinsically we paskin, there's no chiyuv to put up a matzeva on a kever. And Moshe writes, however, at the same time, that this din of Einos Lefosha Sadikim, that Moshe says that, also that just means it's a Rishos. It doesn't mean that it's a Esor, because you see that we do it. We do put up Nefosha's monuments to the Kever at Sadik. So ultimately, it's hard to understand Moshe Shita, because he seems to be coming out that both by regular people, as well as by Sadikim, both, it's not a Chiv, it's not an Esor, it's just a Rishos. It's a Rishos in both cases. So what's the Einos Lefosha Sadikim? What way are Sadikim Bechlal different? What way are they different from anybody else? There's not a chiyah by the tzaddik, and not a chiyah by anybody else, not an issa by either case either. So what does it mean, Amos Foshal Tzaddikim? It's mashma in the Yigas Moshe over there, that what he understood was that it's appropriate to put up a matzeva if you can for the mace. It's not a chiyah, but it's the right thing. It's a cover to the mace to have a matzeva. By the tzaddik, Moshe is mashma over there, that if you're putting up the monument so people should remember the tzaddik, that actually is wrong to do. It's inappropriate. It's not an issa, but it's inappropriate because you're implying that tzaddik doesn't have his own remembrance that lives on after his death. The tzaddik is remembered because of his ma'isim, his deeds, his speeches, his sayings. He shouldn't imply that he needs it for his kavod. So that seems to be the Moshe writes that his lashon is, but if you're putting out the matzeva like we do today for the tzaddik, to show the tsar that we have, that we feel we can't rip ourselves away from him, to know the chavilus that we have to him, that we have to have something that marks his kever, that we should always have a marker there for ourselves, there Moshe says that's the right thing to do, and that became the anhaga today. So the bottom line seems to be, according to this Moshe, that it's not an isor or a chiyuv in either case, a tzaddik or the regular person. By a regular person, it's the right thing to do, and by a tzaddik, it's really not the right thing to do if it's just for his kovoid, because you're implying that he needs it for his kovoid. But if that's what it means, Einos Lefoshel Tzaddikim. But if you're doing it because we feel that we have an experience of tzar and we want to commemorate by placing a marker over here, then that would be acceptable, Rav Moshe says, and that's the practice today that they make the monuments by the Kivrei Tzaddikim.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.